I wonder where you've been seeing and finding hope in the midst of the dark times we're in. What's the light that you're looking to? I don't know if you've seen this in the news or maybe in real life, but people have been putting pictures of rainbows in their windows. A bit of colour, a bit of hope, a bit of light in dark times. Even farmers have been getting in on this action. I'll zoom in. Oh no, that is the zoomed in version. Fantastic. In our local area, I was going along Old Merriburra Road yesterday, and it looks like a family has got out the rainbow of chalk wishing everyone a happy Easter. And seeing that, it really brightened my day too. Now it's lovely to have these optimistic messages. It seems human beings are wired for hope. We think there'll be a silver lining to every cloud, that there'll be a light at the end of every tunnel, a rainbow at the end of every storm. Now, Christians are often accused of blind faith, but I have to say, believing there's always going to be a light at the end of the tunnel, that's blind faith. How do you know? Even if it's always been your experience in the past, there's always been light. Well, without God, believing it'll happen again this time speaks more about your life of privilege than it does anything about reality. But as Christians, as people who know God, who trust in Jesus and are filled with His Spirit, we have reason for hope. Today, Resurrection Sunday is the reason we have hope. The light is always there, no matter how dark it gets. Today, I just want to get back to basics. We're going to look at a couple of moments from the day Jesus rose from the dead, one moment from the start of Luke's account and one from the end. And we're going to be reminded of some core truths. And we're going to be seeing the truth that the true light shines no matter what the darkness. So we left things on Good Friday and it was very dark. A deep darkness had fell. It appeared that the forces of evil, the combination of evil political power, corrupt religious power, and behind it all, the dark force of Satan, it looks like they've won. Jesus is dead and buried. And the last thing we read in chapter 23 is, have a look at there in your Bible, the last clause in chapter 23 is, they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. The they in that verse is most likely the women who'd stayed and watched Jesus die. The ones who from a distance saw Jesus buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Can you imagine how dark that Sabbath would have been? Grieving and waiting with sorrowful hearts. But after darkness, there is light. So have a look from verse 1. This is Luke chapter 24 and verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. These faithful women head to the tomb in the dim pre-dawn light. And as they arrive, the light has not yet fully dawned. Even as they see, there's no body in the tomb. As they stumble around in the pre-dawn light, in His kindness, God sends two angelic messengers to shine a light on the situation. Verse 4. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how He told you while He was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. When we were finishing our series, The Way Home, a couple of weeks ago, we focused, as we looked at this chapter in Luke, we focused on how Luke makes a really big point about how the lights switch on for these people when they understand or remember God's Word. Whether it's God's Word in the Old Testament scriptures or God's Word as it had been taught by Jesus. You'd think that the thing that Luke would point out to us is the amazement at the empty tomb or the presence of the Lord Jesus, and that would be the thing that made faith grow in these people. But isn't it amazing that Luke's point is the truth is what when they understand the truth when they see and remember and understand God's word. It's not what their eyes see and their ears hear that give faith. That's what they remember of God's word. But what is it that they understand? Well, just look again at verse 1. Did you notice how Luke says this happened on the first day? He doesn't say on the third day after the crucifixion. He doesn't say on Sunday or whatever name they gave that day back in those days. He says on the first day. Now, why does he say this? Well, this links to what we saw on Friday. When the sun stops shining and the land is covered in darkness, we're seeing that God's judgment has undone creation. We've gone back to before the first day of creation. But now, it's the first day. God is once again saying, "Let there be light." It's the first day of a new creation. And this is what Jesus' ministry has always been about. At the start of his ministry, in his first recorded sermon, Jesus said, and you can read it on the screen there, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." In that sermon, Jesus is quoting Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61 is an amazing promise of a new start for Israel, a time when the oppression of the exile will be over and God's people will rejoice again. And this phrase, the year of the Lord's favor, it's an allusion back to the year of Jubilee. In the law of Moses, every 50 years was a special year, a year of Jubilee. And in that year, it was like a reset button was pushed. Everything was made new again. If you owed any money, if you had debts, it all became zero. If you'd been sold into slavery, you got your freedom. All land was given back to its original owners. It was a new start for Israel. Well, in this first sermon, Jesus is saying his ministry is a new start for Israel. And on this day, this first day of the week, as the light dawns again, it's a new start. A new creation is beginning. But how is this first day the year of the Lord's favor? What is it about the resurrection of Jesus which fulfills the year of Jubilee? What is the new start Jesus brings? Well, to answer that, we're going to jump to almost the end of the chapter, to Luke chapter 24, verse 44. This is after Jesus reveals himself to Cleopas and the other disciple at Emmaus. It's after those two disciples rush back to Jerusalem. They thought they'd be bringing the good news that they'd seen Jesus when he'd opened their minds to understand how he fulfills the whole Old Testament. But instead they get to Jerusalem and Jesus has already appeared to Simon. And so all of them get together and they excitedly chat about this incredible news. And whilst they're doing that, to a certain degree, it's the first evangelistic meeting as they share the good news that they themselves have received. Jesus appears. And he says to them, two things. First, he again points them to the scriptures. Their confidence needs to be not in what their eyes are seeing, but what the scriptures say. And the second thing Jesus does is he gives them a mission. So read along with me from Luke chapter 24 and verse 44. This is verse 44. He, Jesus, said to them, "This is what I told you about whilst I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." That's the whole Old Testament. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And this is the mission, so listen up, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." How does the resurrection of Jesus make a new start for us? Well, it's there in verse 47. Repentance and forgiveness of sin. Just like the new start, the year of the Lord's favour, repentance and forgiveness has been Jesus' message from the beginning. At the start of his ministry, the message, Jesus' message, is calling sinners to repentance. This is Luke chapter 5 and verse 32. You should be able to see it there on your screens. "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." This is Jesus' message for his whole earthly ministry. But what is repentance? It's not a word we use every day. Some people think of it as feeling sorry when you've done something wrong. And that's heading in the right direction, but it's not quite right. Repentance. Think about the re part of the word, those first two letters. Repentance. Reboot. Restart. Repent. It's about going back to the start. In the Old Testament, the word has this idea of turning around, turning away from sin and turning back to God. In the New Testament, the word has the same idea with the added concept of a change of mind, of a mind being changed from loving sin to hating sin, a mind changed from hating God to loving God. That's what repentance is. And notice how repentance is linked to sins being forgiven. You could imagine a situation where someone turned back to God, but that God is furious and angry at sin. If sin is as bad as the Bible says, if the judgment sin deserves is the darkness and death of the cross, then you could imagine that repentance could actually be turning back into the firing lines. That would not be good news. But the reason why Jesus can send out his disciples with a message of repentance and the forgiveness of sins is because of the cross. Yes, the darkness and death of the cross is what our sin deserves. But on the cross, Jesus drinks the cup of God's judgment dry. On the cross, Jesus is not facing the punishment he deserves because he is the righteous one. No, Jesus is drinking the cup for his people. He's drinking the cup of judgment for all the sin of those who repent. So that when we turn to God, we're not going to find an angry God. We'll find his acceptance and forgiveness and love. And you know, this actually goes back to what Jesus' mission itself was. Remember that first sermon about the year of the Lord's favour, Isaiah 61, Jubilee, the new start? This message about a new start is a message of forgiveness. The words translated free and freedom is the same word as forgiveness. Jesus' message, his mission, was to do with forgiveness and God's favour for anyone who repents. Friends, have you repented? Have you recognized the darkness of your own heart? That your sin, which wreaks havoc in your life, the way that you can hurt those that you love, the way that you live for yourself rather than for others, do you realize that's not just an offense to those around you, but it is an offense to God Almighty? It's an offense to God who will bring judgment on all sin, and the cross shows us that this is true. Have you recognized your sin and repented and turned to God for forgiveness? This is our only true hope, the only true light in our dark world. We can put rainbows up in every single window we see, and it will bring a smile to our face, but it won't deal with the darkness within. Have you repented? Have you turned and put your trust in Jesus, knowing that his death is your death, that he has taken the judgment and punishment for sin, drunk that cup for you? If you have, then there is never a truly dark day to be had. Of course, there are going to be dark days. There will be days when, even though the new creation has begun in Jesus' resurrection, even there will be days when that are feeling very dark because of sin. The life will get dark because of dark death and disease. There will be times when we feel ashamed and guilty because of our indwelling sin. It'll be dark because of fights and financial problems, but even in these dark days that believers have, there is light. There is light because we know our forgiveness and acceptance by God is secure in Jesus. And this light is the basis for mission. Look again from verse 47. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You're witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. We have good news to take to the world. The Spirit God promised to clothe the disciples with, he has come. For us who have repented and are trusting in Jesus, we are living during this first day of the week. We are living in the light of the dawn of God's new day. And so we have a message of true hope and true light for the world. And taking this message to the world, it's what happened. It's what happened as Jesus' followers were clothed in the Holy Spirit. As Luke continues his story of the gospel going to the world, in Acts chapter 2, we hear Peter tell the crowd at Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The Christian message right back at the start is that because Jesus is alive, there is light. Because Jesus is alive, the light is that sinners are forgiven when they repent, when they turn to Christ and receive him as God's King. And that's our message and our mission. I found out about those rainbows, the rainbows people are putting up, not from the news, but from an evangelistic organisation in the UK. And they've put together a website, eastermeanshope.com. And they've put together a great bunch of resources to bring the hope of the forgiveness in Jesus this Easter. Their video and their resources can be found on their website, but I've also scheduled that video to go live on our Facebook page later this morning. So please, after we've finished our gathering and we've finished our virtual morning tea, get on our Facebook page, give it a watch, and share it with your friends. That's just one way you can be part of the mission that Jesus is calling his followers to this Easter. And also, as I've mentioned before, during this time of lockdown, I'm keen for us to try something new and different. We're going to try running Life Explored over Zoom. Life Explored, it comes from the same team that made the Christianity Explored course. It's a 7-week series where people who don't know anything about Jesus, they don't need to know anything about God or the Bible, they can spend 7 weeks thinking about the big questions of life and finding out the Bible's answers to those questions. The idea is, because our friends and family have all had life disrupted, everything's changed. They might have time to think about the questions they normally ignore. And they might also have time, an hour or so a week. They don't even have to leave their home. They can sit on their couch or in their home office and join an online discussion group. The format's pretty simple. We'll set up a Zoom meeting. It's going to have a different ID and a different password from the one we use for Sundays and Bible studies. The group, those who want to join in, will get online. We'll watch a video that will raise a question for us, a question about the meaning of life. Where is there light in darkness? And then we'll have a conversation, and that conversation will include looking at the Bible's answer to the question. Now, for some people, I realise this kind of online discussion group, that is just too weird. But for others, it might just be novel enough for them to say yes to your invitation. Our brothers and sisters, we have a message to share. Jesus is risen, and this brings light and life and hope to our dark world. Now, this course, Life Explored, is not the only way that we can share the hope of Jesus, but it is one way. Who could you prayerfully invite to join? Of course, there are other ways that we can be part of Jesus' mission, because that's what we've been called to. Our world is desperately looking for light in dark days. We'll do anything to raise our spirits. But it's the resurrection of Jesus and his promise of forgiveness. Easter Sunday is the true hope our world needs. If we've received the hope and light of Jesus, if you know your sins have been forgiven, then we've been called by Jesus and empowered by his Spirit to take the good news of this hope to the world. Now please join with me as we pray. Our Father God, thank you so much for Jesus, for the new creation which is broken in at his resurrection. Thanks so much for Jesus that he has taken into himself the punishment for our sin, so that whoever repents will find forgiveness and new life in him. Please help us to know and trust Jesus, to cling to him for salvation and find our hope and light in him. Thank you for your Spirit who empowers believers to obey the mission of Jesus. Please may we be a church who is reaching our region. Help us see how lost people are in the darkness of their sin. Help us to love them and to deeply know the only true light is found in being forgiven through Jesus. We pray there will be many opportunities to speak about hope this Easter, that our friends and family will be responsive to an invitation to explore life's big questions, and that in your kindness, you'd be bringing new life to them. Amen.